In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 20, September 17th, 1926. We'll continue with this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. Our Lord really wants us to begin to live this abundant life. He needs us to cooperate. He loves us so much that he wants all of us to understand that time is changing. Okay, that's the main thing. Time isn't what it has been for the last 6,000 years. The time changed after the flood. That's one of the things that's so amazing. Where we are right now is it's a new beginning for humanity. And that's why everything seems to be falling apart. Everything seems to, it's not the same. And some people think, well, we just have to go through this little time and everything will come back to normal. The kingdom is coming. And we have to understand that for 2,000 years, we've been praying the Our Father. And as the prophets, as the judges, as the kings, as the men of the Old Testament, women of the Old Testament prayed for 4,000 years, basically, after Adam's fall, the Messiah came. And with Jesus coming to the earth and Our Lady coming to the earth, they brought again that universal life, that Catholic life to humanity. And everything changed. The world changed after that because Jesus says every 2,000 years, I renew the face of the earth. So from Adam to Abraham, from Adam to Noah, it was 2,000 years. And then when you really look at history, you see everything changed after Noah. The world was reformed, redone, bringing us back to the life that Noah had, where the majority of humanity was the DNA, their DNA was changed because of the sons of God having children with the daughters of Adam. And that's in Genesis, you know, the Nephilim. It's a mystery, but in fact, it's a reality. And now 2,000 years later, after Noah, it was Jesus coming to the earth, Mary coming to the earth to bring back that universal life that Adam lost. And now 2,000 years from that point, we have entered into the third millennium. We've entered into the 7,000th year. Jesus says everything's going to change. Everything is going to change for the good, for the better. So for the last 6,000 years, we've had the evil one in charge, the prince of the earth in charge of the earth. And that's coming to a halt. That's coming to a complete stop. It's coming to a halt where the kingdom is coming. We're going to go back to where Adam was before the fall. Some people think, well, this is just going to continue like this until Christ returns. And at that point, then heaven will be on earth. Well, that's what Our Lady said to Bruno. She says, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of the evil one, of Lucifer. So when we read, like here we're reading volume 20, Jesus is now trying to teach Louisa from volume 20 through volume 36 how to again receive the divine inheritance of the Father, how to begin again this life that I'm lost. And that's the image and likeness of God. Right now we are, because of holy baptism, because of bringing that universal life back to humanity, for the last 2,000 years, we've entered into the image of God through holy baptism. And now Jesus says, now is the time we're going to enter into the likeness of God. So that's why everything's falling apart. We've seen the evil one knows his time is coming to an end. And so he's throwing everything at us at this point. All the heresies of the church is coming at the church at this point. All the misery that he wants humanity to drown in, the misery of the human will, the misery of his fallen nature, Yet what we see very clearly is, again, Jesus says it will happen like in the time of Noah. Well, what happened in the time of Noah? The DNA was changed. And this is the reason why the MNRA is happening. They want our DNA changed. It's exactly what Jesus said is going to happen. So with all that's going on, the evil one does not want the children of God on earth. And that's why he said to Louisa, Louisa, do you know they're trying to kill all of humanity? Louisa, do you know they're trying to destroy my church? And then Jesus says, let them. He says, you and I, Louisa, will bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And that's Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. This new and divine way of holiness isn't really new. It's the life that Adam had before the fall. And Jesus is getting us ready. He has redeemed us 2,000 years ago. Our Lady was with him on Calvary. And now, 2,000 years later, he says, now's the time for sanctification. So he says in volume 20, September 17th, 1926, my divine will, giving Adam supremacy over all the works of our hands, of the triune God's hands. My divine will, wanting to show off even more with Adam in love, gave Adam and his children the office to grow continuously in divine beauty, in divine sanctity, in divine wisdom, in divine riches, to the point of raising Adam to the likeness of his God. That's what God breathed into Adam and his children, all his descendants. And when Adam said, I'm going to take care of this, I'm going to do my will, not God's will, the human will, we've been in misery ever since. We've been in the fallen state ever since. So Jesus said he had to get the world ready for this return. So he says, for the last 2,000 years, the saints have followed the holy humanity of Jesus, how he lived in by doing the will of God. That's really how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. So this 2,000 years of striving to become a saint has got the world ready for the greatest part that's coming. And so what does Jesus show us? Volume 11 through volume 19, basically, as Jesus said to the apostles, stay in the upper room until the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you all truths. And that's what they did. They prayed with the Blessed Mother for that first novena, the novena of Pentecost, those 9 days of prayer. And then the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles. And then they understood. Well, the second Pentecost is coming. And that's volume 11 through volume 19. If you really want to know what's coming, and this is why we're joy-filled, peaceful, and happy. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the second Pentecost that's coming, is going to prepare the world to begin to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. The first Pentecost was, you know, it was the first fruits, asparagus, rhubarb, strawberries. It's the first fruit. It's like, yes, we've got food again, you know, after the winter, after that long winter. That's how we've been living. And what Jesus has said is the harvest is coming. Now that means from early spring until the fall, you have this, the fruits, the vegetables, I mean, this explosion of food. And the second Pentecost is the Thanksgiving meal, if you want to say, you know, praising God and loving God and glorifying God for all that God has done. And therefore we begin to understand what the rounds are about. We begin to see the I love yous of God in creation, hear the I love yous, smell the I love yous of God in all of creation. And because of what Jesus and Mary did by their sacrifice, we begin to understand their I love you for redemption. Now with creation and redemption, we're re-entering into this abundant life of living in the divine will, that God is getting us ready for this explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. When we learn how to pray the rounds, that's why, you know, if you really read the rounds book, you know, go to louisapicaretta.me, it's download it. When you begin to pray the rounds, you become happy. And then in every detail, somebody said to me, well, just say, you know, I love you, you know, for the water. Why do you go into all? Why? Because Jesus did. Every word that's in the Rounds book comes from the book of heaven, where Jesus says, I want you to look in detail of why water. When we say to the Lord, I'm thirsty, he says, here's water all over the earth. When we say to Jesus, you know, I am hungry, he goes, here's the food that I'm going to give you. So there's the three breads. There's the third bread, your wonder bread. There's the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, where we get ready for the first bread. The first bread is the bread of the divine will. The communion that Adam had, he walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. Adam had a perennial communion with his God, with our God. What Jesus is saying is, I'm going to bring you back to that, walking and talking with God. So he's saying to us, learn what the Eucharist is. Grow in the knowledge of the Eucharist. Spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus says to Louisa, why? I want to teach you how to re-enter into the perennial communion with God. That's where we're going. And so what happens at Holy Mass? At Holy Mass, you receive Holy Communion, the final prayer, the final blessing, and the Mass is over. The church does not want to interfere with your freedom of adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God and worshiping God, entering into this communion with our God. And that's why it's our time. We have to discipline ourselves. And again, you know, the whole church is going to do this one day, but right now we discipline ourselves to spend that 15 minutes, Jesus says, that the host resides in you, where the real presence of Jesus in a mystical way is with us. He says, and now, as you learn this, as you study this, as you put it into practice, you're preparing yourself for the perennial communion, where we will always be in the presence of the beatific vision, looking at God, praising God, glorifying God, worshiping God. That's his gift. His gift is that we can participate in oneness with him, fusing with him, unity with him. So what does Jesus say right in the beginning of this? My will gave Adam supremacy over all the works of our hand, wanting to show off even more with Adam the love that God gave him, the office to grow continuously in the reflection of God in divine beauty, divine sanctity, divine wisdom, divine richness, to the point of raising Adam to the likeness of his God. Always provided, however, that Adam would let himself be dominated, Adam would let himself be guided to give to the supreme fiat, free field. You know, you have, do with me as you wish. Do, you know, I am your field where you can plant whatever crops you want. Do with me as you want. So sometimes what the Lord does, well, he does, he plants fruits, vegetables, you know, different types of fruits, different types of types of vegetables. Why? For his delight, he gives to us what a reflection of who he is. And that Jesus, do with me as you will. We learned from the Blessed Mother. The angel said, you're going to be the mother of God. And she says, well, my plans have already been to live a life of virginity. My plans have always been to be the virgin eternal. How can I become the mother of God? And we say the same thing. Jesus says, I want you to grow continuously in divine beauty, divine sanctity, divine wisdom, divine richness, raising us to the likeness of God. We say, how are you going to do this? I'm nothing. You are everything. I have nothing. There's nothing I can do. The only thing I know how to do is to fall into sin. That's part of my fallen nature. Jesus says, yes, strive for the perfection. And so he shows us how and why this is going to happen in the book of heaven. Strive for perfection. Learn from Jesus and Mary. That's what they taught Louisa, how to live this life that they breathed into Louisa. What did they breathe into Louisa? Continuously grow in divine beauty, divine sanctity, divine wisdom, divine richness. And that's what God wants to do with us. He gave us the book of heaven so that we can learn how to do this. Always provided that we would let ourselves be dominated and guided by the supreme fiat, giving God the free field in order to form its divine life in us, as he did with Adam, so as to be able to form this continuous growth of goods and of divine beauty, of divine happiness without end. This is a glorious time to be alive. Now, I know a lot of people are striving for perfection through the saints. A lot of people have joined religious communities following their founder or foundress. And this is good. This is holy. This is saintly. But Jesus says to Louisa, I want more. Remember, Louisa said to Jesus, I want to become a nun. I want to become a sister. Jesus says, you will. 40 years later, she says to Jesus, I thought you said I was going to become a nun. And Jesus says, you are my little nun. And you're in the smallest convent in the world. That's your bed. And he says, basically surrender your understanding to what I want for you. So Jesus says, because Adam lost his origin, Adam lost his place and remained without order. He was disharmonized from everyone and everything. He enjoyed no peace, not even within himself. This is why we go to confession. When we go to confession, because our nature is to fall. I mean, it's because of what our first father, Adam, did. And now what Jesus is saying, I'm your new Adam. My mother is your new Eve. You're going to enter into our life. That's what they gave to Louisa. And what Jesus shows us is when you sin, you are without order. You're disharmonized from all of creation. You have no peace, not even within your heart, your mind, your soul. So he says, that's why Jesus, the first thing he did when he rose from the dead, he breathed on the apostles and said, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. The first thing he did was knowing that for the next 2,000 years, where we weren't going to be sanctified, where we're striving for sanctification. But the why and the how Jesus gave to Louisa 2,000 years later. So now we're going to enter into this new divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied was coming. This new and divine way of holiness is learning how and why God is going to do this. And all he asks is our participation. All he's asking of us is our fiat. Let it be, Lord, let it be done as you wish. Our Lady said, how can I do this? How can I become the mother of God? I've already decided to be a virgin, not to have children. And Jesus says very, very clearly to her through the angel, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She says, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. That surrender, that docility, that submission is needed today on our part. I remember talking to a theologian when I was in Rome, and this theologian said, how many books are there with Louisa? I said, well, there's about 36 volumes. He goes, who has the time to read 36 volumes? And I have no time for that. And I went, this is the only thing I want to do is read what Jesus says to Louisa. And when you think about it, I mean, just the idea, God says, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to give you 36 volumes. So you think of a volume as this big. Well, in reality, a volume, it's a little notebook. All the volumes together on the desk when we went into the secret archives was about this big. That's all the volumes together. And they're this big by this big. They're small. When you hear volumes, in reality, when you read it, you're reading something new every time. It is, as John said, John the Evangelist said, if everything was written that Jesus said, it would fill all the libraries of the world. That's the book of heaven. Every time you read it, it's more spectacular than what you've just read the day before. Every time you read, that's why I love the calendar. It's you read this book, if we had the opportunity, 30, 40 years, every year, the whole book. And every year Jesus would raise you to this perfection of our human intellect. Why? He says the three powers that he has given us, the intellect, memory, and will, he says you begin to think with a divine perspective. You begin to think with Christ's point of view. So when we read the Book of Heaven, we can remember it with the saints' perspective. Like, for example, the prodigies of Our Lady. Jesus says, you know, many saints spoke highly of my mother, he says, but they never got close to how beautiful, how perfect, how holy my mother is, Jesus says. He says, I as the Son of God, am the only one that can explain to you how beautiful my mother is. If you love Our Lady, read the prodigies of Our Lady. Read what Jesus says about his mother. You know, we fall in love with what St. Maximilian Kolbe, what St. Louis de Montfort said, with what St. Bernard said about Our Lady. When you read what Jesus says, it's mind-blowing. He keeps on expanding our capacity to be in awe of this woman, this Theotokos, the mother of God. And you understand the word woman. When Adam breathed, and he says, this is woman, when he looked at Eve, when Jesus is on the cross and he says, woman, some people say, oh, Jesus was mocking his mother, woman, you know, no, it's a title of honor. And that's one of the reasons why the evil one went after Eve. He hated the woman because he knew that woman, Mary, would be the mother of God, would be the spouse of the Holy Spirit, would be the daughter of the Father, and he hated her. That despicable creature, even today, puts this bad taste in people's mouths when they think of our Blessed Mother. No, she is Theotokos. She is the Mother of God. Now, that's how humble our God is. He wanted a mother, and he not only wanted a mother, but he wanted us to have his mother. And this is what Jesus is showing us. He says, I want to get rid of this bad taste in your mouth of with you're in disorder. You're disharmonized from all of creation. You have no peace, not even within yourself. And Jesus says, I'm going to change this. So he's given us this desire to know him, to learn more about him, to learn more about his mother. And that's what they gave to Louisa. Out of all the history of humanity, Jesus has given to us this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this new and divine way of holiness that our God is teaching us. So Jesus says to Louisa, so it can be said that Adam is the only being wandering in all of creation. Adam and his children were the only being wandering in creation, to whom nothing is due by right, because we, Triune God, give everything to the one who lives in our divine will. And Adam left it. And he, the person who's living under divine will, Jesus says, is our home. Jesus says, he, the one who is living in the divine will, is from our family. This is what Jesus teaches Louisa. And as you go into this, as Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, my children are going to enter eternity where they belong. We don't belong here. This is a way station. And it's a place to prove to God that we love him so that we can have him. Jesus says, he says constantly, I have to give you what you want. Do you want the kingdom? Do you want this true life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve? What do you want? I have to give this to you. So we are here, as Our Lady says, to prove the life that we're going to get, the life that God wants us to possess. And so he's looking at us and he's saying, you know, how are you living? So he teaches Louisa, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, if you're doubting, if you're sinning, he says, you are anticipating hell. And that's why Jesus gave us confession, so we can go to confession, to receive the grace, to be full of grace, you know. And that time hasn't happened yet, but it's very close. God is going to give to everybody what they want, as he gave to Our Lady with her fiat mihi, with our fiat voluntas dwell, that your will be done on earth, this dust, breathe into this dust on earth as it is in heaven. So God is saying, though, if you live in my divine will, you are our home. So the first thing that happens is when you desire to live in the divine will, Jesus says, God is conceived in your heart. Your heart becomes the throne of Jesus. And then every act that you do, every round that you do, is another molecule added to this life of Jesus. He wants us to birth God in us, not like Our Lady did, but to have God gaze in our gazing, listen in our listening, speak in our speaking. He wants to beat in our heart beating. He wants to breathe in our breathing. He wants us to become his home. He wants us to become his family. So he says the relations, the bonds, the sonship that humanity now possesses by living in the divine will, and this is what we're striving for, gives humanity the right of all of God's divine gifts. And if you've been reading the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom on day six, which is a glorious day, the sixth step is to receive all the divine qualities that a human could possibly possess. Now it's up to you, 30, 60, or 100 fold. What do you want? What are you betting on? What do you desire? And Jesus says, I have to give you what you want. So if we say we want 100% and we don't read the volumes, I'm sorry, you can't get 100%. It's not magic. This is work, and it's to conquer the fallen human nature. Jesus did this on Calvary. Our Lady did this with Jesus. We were redeemed. The devil had no, we weren't in slavery to the devil anymore. But now what Jesus says, I want to give you more. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's volume 11 through volume 20, volume 19. And then volume 20 through volume 36 to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. That was hidden from everyone until 1996. And for those in who speak English, it came to fruition for us in 2005. So this new and divine way of holiness has been given to us for a short time. And how much did we dive into this infinite ocean of love, of light, and of life? Jesus says, I have to give you what you want. So he says, on the other hand, the soul that does not live of the life of my divine will, that soul has broken as though all at once, all the bonds, all the relations, and therefore that soul is held by us as something that does not belong to us, Triune God. So he's given each human a desire. And the great thing is what the Catholic Church teaches. There are more people outside the Catholic Church than in the Catholic Church. Okay, what does that mean? If you are of good will, God says, you belong to me. If you are of God's will, remember, it's peace on earth. It's not goodwill toward men. It's peace on earth to men of God's will. This is something that is very essential, very important, that we prove to Jesus that this is what we want. It's not to be separated from him. So in volume 20, September 20th, 1926, Jesus says, therefore, my divine will is everything. John Paul II said this once. He says, the divine will is everything. And I remember going, is he reading the divine will? I mean, it's so important that for us, again, this is a little note we can put, on our mirror in the bathroom, fill that mirror up with quotes. My divine will is everything. My divine will, Jesus says, is everything. It's everything that you want. It's everything that you could ever imagine. It's everything that God wants for us. It's everything that God has planned for us. He says, the children of my divine will become my divine masterpieces. Now, when you think of the saints, to me, they're masterpieces of how they prayed and fasted and did penance, mortified themselves, their martyrdom that they went through, the life that they lived. Jesus says, basically, you haven't seen anything yet. You're going to become my image and likeness, my mother's image and likeness. See, the saints only learned how to do the will of God. Jesus is teaching Louisa how to live in the will of God, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, this great second Pentecost that's coming. We got to get ready for that. And then how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, volume 20 through volume 36. He says, my divine will is everything. Without my divine will, our most beautiful works, our greatest prodigies remain extraneous to the poor creatures because only the divine will alone is the depository of all our divine works. And therefore, only through the divine will can these be given birth for humanity. So here, he wants us to have this birth. He wants us to have this life. What is this birth? What is this life of Jesus, of Mary, the new Adam, the new Eve? As we enter into this life, he says, I can then produce my greatest prodigies. I can produce my most beautiful works. I can let my children, as Jesus says, become my divine masterpieces. He says, because the divine will alone is the depository of all of God's works. Therefore, only through the divine will can these souls be given birth, give birth to humanity. This new beginning is coming for humanity. This new and divine way of holiness. It's really a glorious time. And there is nothing as beautiful as this. When you read the lives of the saints, and you should read the lives of the saints, and this is, you know, in the breviary every day, there's something beautiful that the saints have done. What I used to do when I was in charge of the bulletin in a couple of the parishes, I would find in the week coming something in the breviary that talked about the angels, or talked about the saints, I should say, talked about the Holy Church. And I would use that as a meditation for the week. This is a really good thing to think about. And how glorious this is. The priests, the sisters have been praying the breviary every day, learning, studying what? Volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. How to begin to live this universal life, this Catholic life. And now, with the Book of Heaven, every day there is something more beautiful that Jesus teaches us in the Book of Heaven. As we read each day, there's something more spectacular. And so Jesus says, oh, if all of humanity knew what it means to do or not to do my most holy divine will. Even people in the divine will, I've heard them say, oh, I just love Saint so-and-so. And I love reading what Saint so-and-so said. I said, that's good. That's holy. That's saintly. But it's not divine will. Listen to what Jesus tells us he wants us to have. The saints have taught us for 2,000 years. Listen to what Jesus. If everyone knew what it means to do or not to do the divine will, they would all place themselves in accord with the divine will in order to receive all the possible and imaginable goods from God and then transmission of the very divine life of God. Image and likeness. That's why Jesus says what's coming is not transformation. That was for the saints. What's coming is transmutation. When you look up the word transmutation, it says the inside and the outside of the element changes into a completely different element. The inside, where Jesus lives, it hits his throne. Everything changes. Our intellect, we begin to see from a divine perspective. Our memory is not about us. It's about the new Adam and the new Eve that Jesus gave to Louisa. And then finally, our will. I don't want to live in my human will any longer. I want to live in God's most holy divine will. So this transmutation is coming to enter into, as Jesus says, the transmission of the very divine life of God, image and likeness of God. This is a great time to be alive. It's an amazing time to be alive. And he needs us to cooperate. That's our God. So volume 20, October 6th, 1926, My Jesus, My Love. Listen to how Louisa talks to Jesus. In my Jesus, my love, my life, my light. See, God has given us the book of heaven so that we can fall in love with him, with the newborn, as Louisa loves Jesus, as Mary loves Jesus. Jesus, my life, my love, my all, my God. He says, what kind of martyrdom is this never before felt? To die times upon times, every instant dying. What are you dying to? It's dying to worry. No more worry. It's dying to fear. No more fear. It's dying to anxiety. No more anxiety. It's to enter into this life. So you're presented with a situation and Louisa says, this martyrdom, I'm dying. I'm not living my miserable human will anymore. I'm dying to it. It's dying times upon times, yet never dying. To feel life missing in me. What's the life? It's the life of the human will missing in me without the sweet hope of taking flight to my celestial fatherland. So here Louisa says, you're letting me die to my human will and you won't take me to heaven. You know, what I miss is heaven. What I want is heaven. My desire is heaven. Now, while I was thinking of this, my always lovable Jesus, moving in my interior with a tender tone told me, little daughter, my divine will, courage. So this is the words of Pope Benedict when he became Pope, courage. The words of John Paul II when he became Pope was, do not be afraid. These are two things that you have to understand. There's nothing to be afraid of. We've been born for this time. I am not afraid. I was born for this time. What was the third one? Oh, of course, God is with me. This is how we have to courage. It's going to be tough because Jesus is going to put us in situations where everybody's going to be terrified and we're going to go, fiat. Lord, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I hope in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. Jesus, you're with me. God is with me. This is the thing that's so important. So courage, you are right that it is life that you feel missing in you. Because being deprived of me, you will feel the life of your Jesus mission missing, ending within you. And with reason. The tiny little one, as you are, this is what Jesus says to Louisa. You have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. Father Bucci says, if you're living in the divine world, you have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. He says, the tiny little one, as you are, you feel a hard martyrdom of life ending in you. Okay, so you're put in a situation where are you going to be worried? Are you going to be fearful? Are you going to be anxious, complaining? Or no, I trust in you. So he says, you must know that my divine will is life. And every time creatures do not do this divine will by living in their misery, living in their worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, they reject the divine will. It is a divine life that they reject and destroys, and it destroys within themselves. Jesus says, I want you to stop living like this. He says, I stopped Lucifer from possessing you 2,000 years ago when I died on the cross. You're not his slave anymore. He says, I want you to begin to live my life and my mother's life, the new life, this divine life. When you reject this gift, you're destroying this life within you that God wants us to give. So he says, and do you think that the pain, the continuous martyrdom of my divine will is something trivial? So what he's saying is, most of humanity kills the divine will. Most of humanity says, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to be worried about this. I'm going to be anxious about this. How many people have said to me, oh, you don't understand. I got to worry about my family. That's insulting Jesus Christ. Jesus, you're not a good God. You know, I can't surrender my family to you because I don't trust you. I don't believe in you. The final devotion to Jesus says I give to my church before I return is, Jesus, I trust in you. He says very, very clearly. He says, in feeling so many acts of life that it wants to make a rise in each human, so with so much goodness to be cut off from itself as though by a deadly sword. When we say no to the divine will, I'm going to do it. I'm going to worry about this. I've said to people numerous times, you can have a heart attack. You can have a stroke. You can have an ulcer. Or you can say, fiat, Jesus, I trust in you. You know, we've got to stop killing this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this gift of the divine will. And in place of this divine life that was cut off within them, they make arise the life of the passions, of sin, of darkness, of weaknesses. So Jesus says, this has got to stop. He says, you have to begin. If you understand what the divine will is, if you begin to understand what the divine will is, Jesus says, you begin to want this more than anything. So he says, by not doing my divine will is a divine life that the soul loses. And this is why, since the divine will reigns in you, Louisa, by depriving you of me, Jesus says, it makes you feel the pain of the many divine lives that souls of all the world cut off from the divine will to remain repaired and compensated in you, Louisa, for the many acts of life that they do, that they make it lose. So our job is to repair and redo. When we learn how to repair and redo, the world is changing. Thank you, Jesus, for this gift of gifts. Thank you, Jesus, for this new and divine way of holiness. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching me how to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. Jesus says, if you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, you are anticipating heaven. And that means you want to be in the state of grace. That means you want to be free of all that the evil one is leading us to, and that's to hell. You don't want any of that. You want God and God alone. And this is what it says. Jesus says, to be repaired and to be compensated in you, Louisa, for the many acts of life that humanity wants to lose. And he says, don't you know that in order to form the kingdom of the divine fiat, it must find in you, Louisa, as many acts of its acts for as many as it has lost. We want to take to God everything that humanity hasn't done. All the I love yous of humanity. We want God to have all the I love yous of humanity. So in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, Jesus is teaching us to pray for every thought, every word, every deed, and I love you. To give to God in the name of everyone and everything. Every heartbeat is an I love you to you, Lord God. Every breath is an I love you to God. Of every human that ever existed, past, present, and future, I want to take all of this and present it to you. Jesus in me wants this. That's what Jesus did on Calvary. That's what Our Lady did on Calvary. And now Jesus says, I want you to begin to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, repairing and redoing in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And he says, this is the reason for the alternation of my presence, of my absence, to give you the occasion to form as many acts of submission to my most holy divine will, and to make these acts of divine life that other souls have rejected, enter into you. So we're learning that prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, enkindle in us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. Why? To make the acts of divine life that all of humanity has rejected, to enter into us, one with Louisa, to repair and to do in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, as Jesus did on Calvary, as Mary did on Calvary. He's asking, this is sanctification. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's coming to the earth. And it's so filled with peace, joy, and happiness. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that the anointing that Jesus gave to Louisa, this invincible strength of living in the divine will, be given to us, and that we'll be free of doing our human will from this point on. We make this prayer God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.